The following program is brought to you in living color.
Evening, ma'am. Can I buy you a drink?
Here, here, drink up.
Break out the ale! He's been thirsty!
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
This is going to be great.
Boy, you are some kind of freaky.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time. Everything you didn't want to know about wine, as thought of by your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva. Yes, it's that time of year where I am so long beyond sipping wine, we have broken down to straw and bottle at this point. For those of you who are listening to this show today, if you haven't finished your shopping, you're screwed. You're done. It's over with. Yes, we are about to put this whole Christmas holiday in our rearview mirror, and I know for a fact that my liver is very, very happy about that. I keep waiting for it to come out of my throat, slap me across the face, and go back in and hide like the little woodchuck for at least another 3 months.
Your joy just overflows at this time of year, doesn't it?
I know, and I try so hard to be in the Christmas spirit, but it's just you drink, you go to sleep for a little bit, you wake up, you drink, you go to sleep for a little bit, and after a while, it just all catches up with you.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, and a lot of people do. They go on overload this time of year.
Yes, and it's not, I call it defensive drinking, and yes, I am going to actually coin that phrase, so keep that in mind next time you take that out with your friends that you are defensive drinking, because it's not like we get to spend our holiday season drinking with all of our friends and family. I'm usually drinking with strangers, and after a while, if I'm hearing the same story for the fifth time from a different source, it's just easier to drink and be quiet. So, yes, I know that most of our radio listening networks would appreciate me being quiet, but not going to work that way today. But you don't have to listen to just me all day. I've got two great guests. We have Stu Smith. He's the vineyard manager and winemaker for the Smith Madrone Winery, one of the best wines you have never heard of. And Benjamin Wallace, the author of Billionaire's Vinegar, is coming back with us today. Interesting timing for those of you who've seen the latest Wine Speculator. It actually goes into Bill Cook and the thievery and the forgeries in wine. So it'll be interesting to get Ben's take on everything. And also to remind you, if you're out last-minute shopping, his book is now out in paperback and makes a great gift for all of your wine friends. So those two gentlemen will help us get through the hour with some entertaining anecdotes and tell us a little bit about the backside of the wine business. But right now, of course, if you're thinking about sipping like I have encouraged you to do, I have my wine recommendations for the week. Recently, we have heard in the news a lot of bad things about Australia, how there's too many grapes, how it's too overdone, how they have really wrecked their whole reputation because of things like $2 koala and all the inexpensive wines that are coming in. So I want to stick up for Australia a little bit. After all, they are a continent founded by convicts just like us, so we have to appreciate them. Wolf Blass. Wolf Blass is one of the longest, best-known names coming out of Australia, and they do a Chardonnay out of the Adelaide Hills region. And this is a new release for them. The wine is absolutely outstanding, and it's relatively inexpensive. You can get it for under $20. But it's not this watery, over-oaked flavor that a lot of people are telling you you're going to get from Australia. It's very bright. It has a lot of pear in it, has a little bit of nut in it, kind of like the show. And after that, it just has a great finish on your palate. It will go with heavier meats. It'll go with some of your Christmas fare. So definitely revisit Australia for the Wolf Blass family, especially the Chardonnay. Now, as far as reds, this time of year, people are constantly asking me. We're doing a standing rib roast. We're doing duck. We're doing some kind of grilled seafood. There's all kind of things that go into Christmas Eve dinner and Christmas. It's not like Thanksgiving. You don't cookie cutter it out. But the one wine I know that will carry you through dinner is going to be a Pinot Noir. And right now there's a really, really good one. Davis Bynum is out of the Russian River Valley, which is Sonoma. And this is one of the most full-bodied ones I have tasted of the vintage. It's very rich. It's very earthy. It's got a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of berry flavors on it. It's definitely something worth investing in. It will keep everybody who drinks red wine happy around the table. So that's Davis Bynum Pinot Noir out of the Russian River Valley to match our Wolf Blass Chardonnay. So two easy recommendations, hopefully, to get you into the Christmas spirit. Well, for those of you who haven't quite finished up getting into the Christmas spirit, I have an interesting news article from you. Off the Nielsen wire, you know, of course, everyone is obsessing right now. Did 2009, did we sell more? How are the retailers doing? Did people spend more? I really do think that the media plays a big part in what people perceive as our economy right now. And because the media comes out and saying, oh, well, third quarter earnings are down, fourth quarter earnings are down, I'm really kind of tired of that, and I think it's self-perpetuating. So we're going to have a little bit of fun with this year. Well, what Nielsen is saying is there's deals, deals, and more deals. Consumers plan to use a wide array of tactics to save money this year. Deal-seeking is the predominant course of action. Well, of course, that makes sense. We're in a recession. What else are people going to do? So I thought I'd use their statistics and apply it to shopping for wine for the next 2 weeks. According to Nielsen, 53% of consumers will wait for sales. Really? Well, right now is a great time for you to be going out and finding wine. As we talked about in last week's show, there's a lot of high-end wineries that are having a lot of their vintages, let's say, backed up. And in doing so, that means they have to move them through. Ergo, you're going to find some great deals on a lot of big names. So definitely keep your eye out for that. 46% of the population will buy lower-priced gifts. Well, that does go hand in hand with a bad economy. So think about this. Great value wines. 3 weeks ago, we posted great value brands on our website. So whereas in the past, if you had spent over $25 for a bottle of wine, go on the website from 3 weeks ago. You'll find 20 wonderful brands that you can have a value-oriented Christmas with. 42% will bargain hunt more extensively this year. Are you seeing a pattern here as we go on? Yes, we're all going to be cheaper this Christmas season. We get that. But if you're going to bargain hunt more extensively for your wine, don't forget things like, oh, I don't know, the 7-Eleven private label. Walmart's doing wine now. And, of course, your local Megamart. Look for those things on the end cap. You can definitely find greater bargains there. Now, here's something we haven't really discussed on The Crush, but it's worth paying attention. 39% plan to use coupons. Now, granted, in some of the states that we are broadcasting in, I realize that using a coupon for alcohol is illegal. But if you go down the wine aisle, it is amazing the kind of coupons you can find hanging on bottles of wine. Now, if you're astute enough and you're cheap enough, since we've established that what we're doing for the holiday season, you can go through on the necks of these bottles and pull off anything like $2 off cheese, $3 off meat, oh, $1.50 off flowers, and some of them are no purchase necessary. So if you're really, really going to do things on the fly, you can go grab a bottle of wine that has a $2 coupon off bread. You can show up and say, bread and wine and you. What else could I need for Christmas? Just trying to give you some tips. 37% plan to shop at less expensive retailers and more online. That definitely goes hand in hand with what we talked about, whether it's 7-Eleven, whether it's Walmart. Definitely find something that you can approach and look at the wine and be comfortable spending it there. 22% will make fewer shopping trips. This is definitely me. As I go into my last-minute holiday planning, whether it's for the wines for New Year's Eve, gifts for friends or coworkers, there is nothing better as far as making one stop. Walk into your favorite wine shop, grab two cardboard boxes, that's 24 bottles they will hold, and ergo, by the time you're out of there, 24 gifts all said and done. In fact, a lot of those nice wine shops will give you cute little bows and bags to put the wine in. You're done. You're finished. No fuss, no muss, no mess. Now, 23% of you are going to give homemade gifts over the holiday season. And I have to admit, this is the first year I have seen some very, very clever things done with wine. In the past, we've talked about the little wine necklaces that go around the glasses that keep dumb people from figuring out whose glass is whose and not drinking after each other. But I did see something clever. I guess it was leftover Christmas lights with battery operated. People had found pretty blue and green and yellow bottles. They had actually taken the battery operated Christmas lights and bless their heart for the patience that was involved in this. Stuffed them all down into the bottle of wine, put the cork back on it so that the bottle would light up. So this would be great. Once you're lit, you can light up and you'll be good to go. So that's our interesting holiday analysis, just to try and keep you cheery and focused on wine for all of your holiday shopping needs. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we come back, we will have Stu Smith from Smith Madrone joining us.
Laura Lawson's back in a moment with more of The Wine Crush.
I I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we're often talking about legends in the wine business. We talk about different pieces and different formats, but it's very rare that we actually get to speak with someone who culminates everything that could possibly be done in the winemaking field. Well, right now we get to do that. We have Stu Smith. He's the vineyard manager and winemaker of Smith Madrone Winery. Stu, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think we're going to have a great time. It's so much fun. preparing to talk to you actually on radio, I kept trying to figure out which different tactic I wanted to take. Do we want to look at it winemaking? Do we want to look at your activism? Do we want to look at, hate to say it, but the gonad group? So many things to look at. Tell our listeners just a smidgen of what you would like them to know about you.
Well, I suppose to put it in this elevator speech, that we're a small winery on the very top of Spring Mountain, which is just west of St. Helena in the Napa Valley. Started it in 1971 with the idea of making as fine a wine as is capable for us. And that as far as the style goes, we feel that as a small winery, it's our obligation to try to get the vintage into the glass of wine. Whatever nature imparts into that berry, we feel, my brother and I, that it's the best to get it into the glass. It's why we vintage date things. It's why we like wine to be unique. I suppose the antithesis of what I'm saying would be what so many people do with a the old cliche of pounding the square peg through the round hole.
Exactly. And you have a lot of compatriots around you that like to do that.
Yes.
I think that's what's most charming to me about what y'all do. You have always been just adamant about letting the ground, letting the vintage, letting the vineyard speak. You don't feel like you have to manipulate things, and that's such a rarity, and it makes your wine such a commodity.
Thank you. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to let the vineyard speak, the grapes, nature, and the idea, again, of this kind of uniformity of style from vintage to vintage is just kind of boring.
It is. Hey, champagne may need a house style, but pretty much after that, everyone needs to let nature take its course.
Exactly.
Well, you have been so active in everything that's happened in the Valley since the 70s, which most of us kind of revere as the time where it really metamorphosed into what it is today. You were characterized in James Conaway's book, The Far Side of Eden, and of course, Napa. Tell us a little bit about your history in the Valley. You are truly a character. Give us a defining moment for you.
Well, Laura, it's not my fault, as I like to say.
I try that over and over again, and it never works for me.
And frankly, it doesn't work for me very well either. But it's I keep trying it on, and hopefully it'll fit someday. My background was from, Berkeley. And at Berkeley, as I like to say, I was there in the mid-60s, and there was a revolution going on. And everybody snickers or smiles or grimaces. But it was also a food and wine revolution that started in the 60s. As I like to say, roast beef wasn't cooked unless it was gray. Vegetables weren't cooked unless they were limp. And exotic cheeses was a Monterey Jack, a sharp cheddar, or a Velveeta. And all of that started to change out of the Bay Area, pardon me, New York. And I don't cook very well, but I loved to eat, and I was drinking more and more wine. And as a senior, I became what was called an intercampus exchange student, took a class out at UC Davis, loved it, and applied for grad school, and as I like to say, through a clerical error, was admitted. And did my 2 years out there, and then syndicated a little partnership of family and friends, and started the winery as a 22-year-old. As I like to say, ignorance is bliss. And there's just something in my personality that makes me stand up. I guess I was a Boy Scout. I am a Boy Scout.
I was about to say, you're still the troop leader out there, too, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm no longer the Scoutmaster. I retired after 8 years as Scoutmaster. Now I'm just an assistant Scoutmaster. But
come and go as you please. That always helps.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like being a grandparent.
Yep. You can slide in, slide out, and get them all upset, and then there's someone else's problem.
Exactly. And I feel very passionate about wine. I feel very passionate about Napa Valley. I had a lot of people talk to me and say, what are you talking to Jim Conaway for? Because, he'll eviscerate people. And I'm going, look, Jim won't know my point of view unless I talk to him. And he may not agree with me, but he sure as hell is not going to get my point unless I talk to him.
Well, I like the way you think, and obviously it was interesting. For our listeners, we're talking about the book I like to talk about, Napa, The Far Side of Eden, and Stu actually comes out of this as an anti-hero. Even though he talks, he gets with Conaway. Because you actually spoke to him and took time with him, I think people do really get your point when they read that segment.
Thank you. I'd like to say that you know, Jim and I are friends. We just have a different view of life. And my undergraduate degree is in economics.
Bless your heart.
And I feel very strongly that once an industry, you know, the Napa Valley, California wine industry exploded in the 60s and 70s because of a combination of a couple things. One is that UC Davis cranked out a bunch of us little weenie winemakers. And two, we had local government that was very supportive of what we did. And we had a regulatory agency that was pretty much hands-off.
Exactly.
And then there was this entrepreneurial spirit, if you would, that came in and that allowed us to do all this. And when I got out at UC Davis, we all wanted to go back to Europe and see how they did it. And what we all realized very quickly is that there wasn't a lot for them to offer us, because they were so regulated by tradition, and tradition just was not good for change. And California got to where it is because of science. And science looked at what Europe had done with trial and error and said, yeah, that's good, that's bad, that's good, that's bad. So we'll keep the good, you know, reject the bad. You know, if you look at Chianti, how much Chianti Classico is there around any longer? You know, as I like to say, those raffia-covered fiasco bottles was all based on tradition. And the young guys who wanted to make wines that were better really came to UC Davis, came to California, looked around and said, why can't we do this?
Why can't we do this? In 63, I think they changed their mind and did. But you're dead on. People over there, whether it's through the laws, whether it's through family tradition, they have to stay in their traces. And I think that's one thing you have done very well, is thrown those off.
Yes. And I constantly, in my activism, if you would, in Napa Valley, it's to keep those shackles off an industry, because the industry has to change. A good example of that is one I don't happen to agree with, but I support them entirely in their effort, and that's these very late harvest still wines. As I like to say, probably one of the most prescient topics in Napa Valley and the North Coast today is, when are grapes ripe? When should we pick those grapes? If you look back 5,000 years of winemaking, you think we'd know when to pick the grapes.
And pick them when you want to.
Yeah, you pick them when you want to, when they're ripe. But how do you define ripeness? And a lot of the boys and girls around here are going, well, they're not ripe until they have brown seeds. They're chewy. The skins are this or that. And if the sugar happens to be 30 degrees Brix, well, and there's no acid, well, so be it.
Hey, Stu, I hate to do this to you. I'm going to have to cut you off right here. But for our listeners, please go to smithmadronewinery.com. Stu, hands down, is the best voice coming out of Napa Valley, and has been for the last 15 years. If you want to define yourself what truly California wine should be, just look up Mr. Madrone and his wines.
Thanks very much.
Stu, thank you for being on the show. We'll have you back soon. All right, we have to take a small break right now, but we shall return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant, what would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We just had the pleasure of talking to Mr. Stu Smith of Smith Madrone Winery. And I do want to reiterate this fact again, and we didn't get to talk to Stu as long as I would like to. He is truly one of the founding characters of Napa. He knows everything. He knows where all the bodies are buried, and he's integrally part of that valley. So I encourage you, seek out his wines, look on his websites. The man can tell you so many stories, likes of which most of his neighbors would never want you to know. But as long as we're talking a little bit about the valleys, I found this interesting news article. And of course, we look at some of these founding people from the early 70s who got together and realized if one winery did well, they all eventually would do well. Well, Napa Valley passed this ordinance back in 1980, where whether you were from Rutherford, Oakville, whether you were from Calistoga, St. Helena, Stag's Leap, it always said Oakville, Napa Valley, California. Rutherford, Napa Valley, California. All the different AVAs, the American Viticulture Areas, yes, they were in Napa, but it defined the different regions. Well, Sonoma has never passed something along those lines. They have never gotten together. Their attitude up until this point has been very laissez-faire. They didn't want to be like Napa Valley, and they just thought they were a little more laid back. Well, finally, 30 years pretty much after Napa Valley got on board, Sonoma is trying to pass a law that said if you are in one of the Sonoma Valley AVAs, whether it's Chalk Hill, whether it's Russian River Valley, I guess Carneros would apply, that you need to say Russian River Valley, Sonoma. I want you to think about this when you're shopping in your Mega Mart. We talk generally about valleys occasionally. We talk about Napa Valley. We talk about Sonoma Valley. And there are a lot of people out there who are learning about wine. If I talk about a Russian River Pinot Noir, kind of like I did earlier in my wine recommendation, the Davis Bynum Russian River Pinot, did you really know that was Sonoma? If you actually had that on the label, you'd see Russian River Valley Sonoma, and it would hit home with you. So this ordinance is finally up for a vote, and I definitely think it's time that Sonoma Valley helped out all their fellow vintners with all the fellow AVAs and put it all together. Now, what'll be interesting to read from all this, and I'd love to have Stu's opinion on it, is the outcry we're going to have from certain people saying, oh, no, you can't take our reputation. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. Oh, it's too costly. Once again, you can help the few, help the many, but if what one person does helps everybody else, isn't that worthwhile? So anyway, that's your thought for today as you're looking at labeling laws in Sonoma and thinking, how much snickier can we all get? Really interesting stuff. Well, after all, this show is all about you, and we do like to have your phone calls and your emails. For those of you who have not reached out to us yet, we are still searching for that perfect New Year's Eve toast. You can email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com, or even at this point, since you're rushed for time, you can drop it on the wine line. Just wait for Kent's charming voice to ask you to leave a message at 877-4-CRUSH-1. And for those of you really brave, feel free to post them on the Wine Crush Facebook site. Yes, we are up and rolling in all of our technological forums. So, right now, someone has sent us an email. This is Karen from Minnesota. Karen writes, in your last show, you talked about using grapeseed oil and using the byproducts as moisturizers and hand lotions. How does that work and where does it come from? And how does the fact that oil is taken out of the grape affect my wines? Wow. Okay. Grapeseed oil is just that. Any kind of seed out there, I think, feel free. I'm sure there's some vegetable expert out there that's going to say, no, Laura, you're wrong. Some kind of veggie anthropologist. But you can make oil out of just about any seeds. And that's what they do with grape seeds. You can take them, you crush them enough so that you actually get the essence of them out. And once you do this, it is so concentrated and so thick. Think about olive oil. Think about some of the big lanolin products. It will literally just sit in your hands. And what's great is that grapeseed oil really absorbs into your skin. It absorbs into your hair and really, really does make a good beautification ritual. Now, I've never heard of anyone cooking with grapeseed oil. I would imagine it has a pretty low burn point, so we probably wouldn't want to do that. Now, how does it affect your wines? Well, there is no grapeseed oil per se in wines because, well, it would take a lot of pressing on a lot of those skins and a lot of those seeds to actually get the oil into the wine. Somehow there are chemical components, definitely, from the seeds. In fact, you get your tannins from the seeds and from the skins. But as far as actually having an oily wine, outside of something very viscous, it's not something you're going to pick up on. And truthfully, a lot of your better wines, they don't even like to press the grapes anymore. It's called first run juice. And when that comes out, you're definitely not getting the impact of the seeds. So I hope that helped and hope you gave a little bit of insight. But actually, you kind of helped me tag off into something interesting I did read. You know, all of us this time of year, everyone gets into their arguments about, oh, red wine gives me a headache. Oh, white wine gives me ulcers. Oh, if I drank too much bourbon, I have the worst hangover on the planet. But actually, they have finally done a research study. And this involved 95 participants ages 21 to 43. I love their disclaimer on this, who were heavy drinkers but had no history of alcohol abuse. Anyway, what they did is they sat down and they tried a whole bunch of different alcohols with them. And what they have proven is that dark wines and dark alcohols actually will give you a worse hangover than white wines and, say, lighter spirits like vodka. Because all of this comes from what? The grape seeds, the grape skins, the different byproducts from fermentation. They're little chemicals called cogeners, C-O-G-E-N-E-R-S. Now, if you're looking at white wines, vodka, gin, something like that, they actually have less cogeners than their dark counterparts. So say you and your buddy go out and he drinks a whole bunch of bourbon and you drink a whole bunch of vodka. The good news is he is 37 times more likely to have a hangover in the morning than you will. So as you're shopping and enjoying the rest of your holiday season, just keep that in mind. All right, we have another email. This one is also from Karen, but this is from Karen in Wyoming. Karen writes, I just read that vineyards are being grafted over in Australia. What does that mean and why is it done? When you're looking at vineyards grafting over, what happens is a lot of time, I'll give a good example. In Australia right now, they may realize they have too much Semillon. But the rootstock is there. It's been there for a long time. And it's very, very expensive to go and rip all these vines out and then turn around and plant new ones. So instead of just pulling out all of your Semillon, tilling the dirt, getting it refreshed, and then turning around and planting Shiraz, what you can actually do is take the vines, cut them off at the rootstock, and graft new vines on them. It's not quite cloning. It's more like giving yourself a bionic appendage. This is actually how we have beaten phylloxera. This is how we've gotten around a lot of diseases, because certain rootstocks, no matter what the roots look like, they serve one function: to get nutrients, to get water up into the plant. It is the actual plant and the DNA that's on top that makes a difference in what kind of varietal, what kind of grape, what kind of foliage is going to be produced. So that's what grafting is putting a different kind of varietal onto a unique rootstock. Karen, I hope that helped. Right now, we're going to take a small break, but when we return, we are going to have the master of counterfeit recorders joining us on the show.
Now that we sat nice, broke bread together, shared a glass of wine, I feel I know you a little.
It's dance time in Texas, and we're striking up the band.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
Available at Walmart.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come down, selector!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are off and rolling on an entertaining show. For our loyal listeners, you will remember that we had Benjamin Wallace on the show probably close to a year ago when Billionaire's Vinegar had just come out. We are fortunate today he is going to rejoin us and talk a little bit more about the saga going on. Benjamin, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thanks, Laura. Good to be back.
It's nice to have you back. How are your holidays going?
Getting ready to head off to see my family, so everything's good so far.
All right. Well, you are off and rolling. Well, I was laughing the other day. I was wandering through the bookstore, and sure enough, I saw Billionaire's Vinegar in paperback. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So when can we...
For, I guess, 7 months.
Okay. Well, when can we expect to hear more about the saga? All you have to do is pick up the wonderful Wine Speculator right now, and you see the big stories. Bill Koch stepping forward. What do you think about that, and how is that going to affect our hopefully a second volume?
Well, the story, you know, since I finished the book, the story has just continued to unfold, and given the number of lawsuits Bill Koch has going and the pace at which they're moving, I mean, I think it will be another several years before this thing is over, at the earliest. I mean, the initial lawsuit that he filed was against Hardy Rodenstock, the German, you know, quote-unquote discoverer of these Jefferson bottles, and that lawsuit is still going on and is just, you know, moving at a snail's pace, and it still looks like it's probably going to end in a default judgment, meaning Rodenstock basically isn't fighting the suit, and Koch will get a victory in a U.S. court, but even if that happens, you know, actually winning any kind of assets, you know, or judgment against Rodenstock that can be enforced in Europe is a whole other thing.
It's a straw man victory. For our listeners, Benjamin Wallace wrote the book Billionaire's Vinegar, and what the story was about was the fact that wine consumers were getting defrauded, that they were buying fakes, they were buying wines that had been modified, flat out changed detrimentally. And of course, we're not talking about $10 or $15 bottles here. We're talking $156,000 bottles. So it became really a heart of a financial crisis in the sense that people are scared to put their wines up at auction. People are getting hesitant. Now, Benjamin, on that, you have to admit that you're kind of the catalyst of all this. As we look at auction results dropping every month, what are you thinking about that? Did Billionaire's Vinegar have a play there?
I mean, I'm sure it played some role, but I think the real catalyst was Bill Koch's lawsuit. I mean, my book actually began independently of him, and then it just turned out that he happened to launch an investigation and file these lawsuits. But I think it's really the lawsuits that have gotten the most attention and have probably, you know, put the fear of God into the auction houses a lot more than, you know, a book that has done, because they're all afraid of being sued. And in fact, at least two of them have already been sued by Koch. So that's really causing a lot of them to, you know, be more careful about what they're putting up for auction, offer more disclosure in their auction catalogs, and basically do anything they can to avert further lawsuits.
Have you had people call out and come to you and say, hey, listen, I was involved in this too, and tell you other stories?
I wish. I have not. I have not. I mean, I've had people who, you know, were sort of part of the story who I've crossed paths with like that, but no one, you know, has come forward and said, oh, I was an accomplice, I was there in the cellar, you know, pouring creme de cacao into the mix to make it taste older, unfortunately. But if anyone listening to this would like to, please contact me.
Absolutely, or feel brave. You can call in anonymously to the Wine Crush, 877-4-CRUSH-1, and we will pass it on. When you're thinking about all this, when you're looking at whether it's the auction records or people faking wine, what is your personal slant on this? Is this something that's going to become more and more common, or is it going to come to a screeching halt now?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, my book dealt with really old and rare wines, and I think that will largely come to a halt because I think, you know, there was only a limited amount of that stuff. It's increasingly old. There's now tons of skepticism about bottles from, you know, let's say before 1950, and everyone's on high alert about the possibility of counterfeiting. And so I think, you know, that particular issue will be less of a problem in the future. But with younger vintages, which in some ways, you know, are easier to fake the labels of, because, you know, creating sort of a look of age is a lot harder than creating something that looks brand new. I think that, you know, will continue to be a problem and still, you know, continues to be a problem right now.
I think it's something we will definitely encounter, although I think people are being much more cautious these days. As you look ahead and try and plan your next study, I know that you were never a wine person before you wrote the book. Do you find yourself continuing to learn more about wine?
I do. I didn't know that much when I started. I was sort of an interested beginner, and I, in the course of working on the book, I took some classes, and I, you know, interviewed a lot of people in the wine world and drank a fair amount of, you know, pretty good wine, although less than I had hoped. I thought everyone was going to be popping open their best bottles for me. That didn't really happen, but, you know, I got to taste some good wine. But one actually unforeseen effect of the book was I ended up writing not another wine story, but a story about another alleged con in the world of memorabilia. But this time it was for baseball memorabilia. Just an auctioneer in that world read the book and called me up and said, "Hey, the exact same thing is happening to me." So I just wrote a story about that. So maybe my specialty going forward is going to be memorabilia con artists rather than wine.
Well, you can be our detective. You can be the watchdog and keep your eye out and let all of us know where we might run into problems. This may put you on the spot a little bit, but I think I read recently that Michael Broadbent is suing your publisher.
He did. He sued Random House, claiming that he had been defamed. He sued them in the UK, which has libel laws which are much more favorable to plaintiffs than American libel laws. And the publisher and Mr. Broadbent actually came to a settlement a couple months ago where he was paid an undisclosed sum of money, and Random House offered an apology. At the same time, Random House is making no changes to the book and is going to continue to publish it everywhere in the world other than the UK. So I think that tells you, you know, exactly what Random House thinks about Mr. Broadbent's claims.
Exactly. What do you think about Mr. Broadbent's claims?
I think they're unfortunate because, you know, I actually feel sort of sorry for Michael Broadbent. I don't think he acted with any malice in auctioning off these older bottles, but, you know, I do think he, perhaps looking back, should have asked more questions and perhaps should not have auctioned the bottles. And I don't think that the book portrays him as having acted with malice. And
I think it does.
Though, is that, you know, he is you know, the book does make him look like someone who maybe made some poor judgments, and he obviously doesn't like that, and he's looking to blame somebody, and so he decided to sue. It's unfortunate. I'm glad at least I was not personally sued, but I feel badly for my publisher that they had to spend a lot of money just to deal with the situation.
Well, it's always nice when you can actually have someone who will stand up for you. Well, Benjamin, thank you very much for being part of The Crush today. I'm anxiously awaiting to hear more on these stories, and hopefully when we do, we'll have you join us again.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me.
Benjamin, I hope you have a great holiday, and we will catch up with you again. Right now, we're going to take a small break, and when we return, we'll be wrapping up this show. And, of course, any questions and comments you might have.
Break out the ale! These men are thirsty! Yeah!
The Wine Crush.
Well, I guess we better get on with it.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The karate glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we've had a very entertaining show with both Stu Smith and Benjamin Wallace. And of course, it's always interesting to get two people like that on the show at the same time. You know, we've talked in the past few weeks about what is the wine culture? Does America have a wine culture? And it helps to really put things in perspective when you think about it like this. We're a very vocal nation. There is no set grid pattern for creating any type of culture. Any culture we have, it's fluid and created by leaders and the sensation of the moment. It's not defined by boundaries. And you really have to keep that in mind when you're talking about the whole idea, is there a culture? Today we heard from two great voices. When I talk about leaders, these are definitely the types of people I'm talking about. Someone like Stu Smith, who's been standing up for the environment, for standing up for rights, for standing up with literally for the little guy and for the family guy in Napa Valley forever. He has created so much of Napa Valley, both ecologically and in history, that he will be around and he will always be an icon of the culture. On the flip side of it, you have Benjamin Wallace. Even though it was his first foray into the wine business, he pointed out that our culture has become a point where even something as luxurious and as legendary and as timeless as wine can be violated by a type of culture who wants to come in and do something insidious, like come up with counterfeit bottles and fake bottles, all for the ways of money. When you look at that, though, isn't that defining of any culture that we're going to have? You're going to have the people who are truly heroes, who are going to try and stand up and point out what's right to the rest of the world. But we're always going to have those people who come in and try and show the underbelly and make it a dark and seedy place. That's what's fun about looking at any culture or the checks and balances that are involved. So my hat's off to the heroes in the wine business. Let's always make sure that the dark and seedy side never takes over. All right. Well, this has been another version of The Wine Crush. And next week, we are going to talk about the 10 most interesting wine stories of 2009. So if you have any on your mind, let me know. 877-4CRUSH-1 or Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Well, it's that time. Once again, we ask you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.